By the way, in the news as well, which is a personal sadness to me, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi died.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he died last night.
That's 91.
I never expected that to happen.
I never did. He
That's the 90. Guy whose meditation you follow.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 91 years old. Yeah. And he is a terrific man. I got to interview him twice when I was at NBC Radio.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Washington and spoke with him. And I believe he was really onto something. His philosophy of life was deep and profound. The idea of bringing meditation to the masses, especially in Western culture, and teaching people how to meditate so that they could fit it into busy lives, was absolutely essential and important, and that his whole idea of world peace, and he was a philosopher and a deeply religious guy as well. And I believe we've lost someone very important. I was also saddened to see that in the newspaper they barely gave it any coverage. It's a small...
I didn't even see it yet.
And he's only remembered as the Beatles' meditation teacher. And I thought there was a lot more to the guy, and maybe his obituary in the New York Times will be a little bit more pronounced and a little bit more detailed other than just the Beatles, which was a small blip on his radar. But yet it brought him to prominence. And I got turned, I will forever be indebted to the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi for saving my mother, who really was a very, very depressed woman. And really, I feel on the edge of the envelope. And when I was in college, I used to worry about her all the time. My mother was very, very depressed. She had lost her sister, right, and it threw her into the worst depression that, you know, I could imagine. And, you know, I was really, really concerned about her for many years. And all of a sudden, my mother sees the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi on, I think, the Johnny Carson show. Either that or Merv Griffin. I think in this case it was Johnny Carson.
So we're early 70s we're talking?
We're talking about 1970, I'll tell you exactly the year, 1973.
Okay.
And I'm not good at remembering years, but when your mother's life is saved.
Right, and you were in college, so that makes sense, 73, right?
I was a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my mother called me up. She said, and she sounded different immediately. And she said, I need you to do something. I want you to come to a transcendental meditation center with me. I said, oh, I know all about that stuff, mantras and all of this. And she said, my life's been changed by this TM. I said, oh, I know all about it. Meanwhile, I knew nothing about it.
You always know everything.
But, yeah, you know me. I know everything. And I told her, you know, a mantra, and she figured I knew what I was talking about. I had no idea what I was talking about. But I was 18, had no interest in meditating or anything like that. Well, I went home, and my mother, I saw a difference in her. She was no longer this depressed, down woman. And my father, too, was sort of happier. And they described to me, they went to a TM center after seeing the Maharishi on Johnny Carson, and they got completely sort of misled. They thought he was going to teach them. They thought that he would be there. You know, he wasn't there, but they have a teacher at a TM center and stuff. So she was all confused, and my father was like, what are we doing? What are we doing? You know, my father's so not into this stuff, but because my mother was going to do it, they taught her quickly, which they teach everyone. You pay a fee and you learn this, and then you have this technique for life. In other words, a one-shot deal. You pay a couple of bucks, and then you have this technique. And so my mother did it, and I am telling you, the change was profound. I mean, a woman who was no longer depressed. Like super happy, content, had a philosophy of life, understood death, understood that life goes on for the living kind of thing, and was just... I can't even tell you how happy the woman was. I mean, I was like, what did they dope her up or something?
And then antidepressant without taking a pill.
What is she doing over there?
Yes. And aside from that, a lot of her ailments with insomnia and stuff were cured. And, you know, so my mother drags me into a TM center. They teach me. And I was shocked by how easy it was and how quick it was. And lo and behold, I felt that nothing had changed inside of me. I said, well, I'm the same, but good for my mother. And I kept doing it. And I would say within a month, I quit a 3.5-pack cigarette habit a day. You know, 3.5 packs a day I was smoking.
Wow.
I quit. I suddenly became, like, not into smoking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just kind of, it sickened me. And, you know, and I didn't even want to attribute it to TM because I want to attribute it to something else. But
well,
I,
maybe
I mean,
because of the career you chose, too.
Well, a lot of it.
Doing that, but I can tell you, that's how I quit smoking.
Yeah, it was really weird. And Robin was a heavy smoker, too. When I met her in Washington, yeah. she was a real heavy smoker.
I couldn't stop.
And I talked to her about meditation. You would ask me about it a couple of times. You went and meditated, and then you quit.
Like, that's how I did it. I took up my meditation, and the cigarette smoking went out the window. I've never had a cigarette since.
It started to irritate me in a weird way. Like, I'd walk outside and smell fresh air, and I'd go, oh, this is irritating me, this cigarette, because I'd be smoking a cigarette outdoors, right. And it made no sense all
right,
of a sudden.
Right.
So I can't even tell you on what level it changed me, but that's, like, the biggest, most pronounced effect. And then the other weird thing is, I was always an insomniac. I didn't know how to get to sleep, and it regulated my sleep. I suddenly could sleep at night. So these two things are major changes in someone's life.
See, everything you're saying, there's every indication, every logic points towards me rushing to a TM center right now, because I have insomnia, I'm a smoker, I can't kick it. And yeah. What you just said, I never thought about it that way. The grotesque thought of lighting up a cigarette in, like, Colorado. Think about
that.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Like, I mean, when you, oh, it's awful.
Well, nevertheless.
I used to jog and come off the track and smoke.
Yeah, I jog when I'm smoking.
And I was heavily addicted. And I had no intention of quitting, which is weird. And not only that, I went out and played basketball, and after the day I quit, I went and broke my ankle. I tore all the ligaments. I was in a cast. That would have been the perfect time to smoke.
Playing hoops?
I landed the wrong way. So the fact of the matter was, here, even with the cast and sitting around, you know how you want a cigarette? I didn't want a cigarette. It didn't become a problem for me. And so
I've become a kind of person, I can't ever believe I smoked a cigarette.
Right,
like,
me
too.
How could
I have ever done that?
So, you know, the thing is that the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi had a profound effect on my life, especially, and I thank him for this, and wherever he is right now, I thanked him in person. I got a chance to speak with him, which was rare, because mostly he is a monk and stays in seclusion for most of his life.
Yeah, you hardly saw him.
Occasionally he would talk, and I got to say to him, thank you. And he was really just a beautiful, beautiful man. I don't know how else to tell you, and I don't really proselytize a lot. I don't talk about TM a lot. But I do feel it has helped me with my creativity and all aspects of my life.
You know, and Artie, you talk about some obstacles you've had. You know, we all talk about therapy, but TM created great breakthroughs in my own personal development. Remember, I didn't go home for 10 years.
Right.
It was after a TM weekend that I called you and said, I'm going home.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I have a question for you, because you talked about how you got to interview him twice. And I'm probably one of a handful of people who's actually gotten to see that interview.
Yes.
And I wonder if it's not too highly personal, you know, if you would ever put it up on Howard TV. And I'll tell you why. There were two things about that interview that were really interesting. First, I'd never seen you so reverent. Like, it's a different Howard. The other thing is, I've always heard you talk about TM, but I never understood what it was to you. And watching that interview, I found it fascinating how much it means to you and why you do it.
Well, the reverence was because there's not too many people that you could look at in the face and say, thank you for saving my mother's life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was, it gives me chills to say it. You know, there is ultimate reverence for this man. I felt he was a living saint. And I felt bad that the rest of the world maybe never got to acknowledge this guy while he was alive. And but he has written some books that I think are very, very important. And, you know, the funny thing was,
he had a vision of the world that, you know, he really wanted peace and enlightenment for everyone.
I'll never forget. It was around 1975. I heard him say the communism in Russia will disappear and the Berlin Wall will come down. Something like that. And I went, oh, this guy is so nuts, you know. and it all just unfolded. It was weird. Like 2 years later. And not that he had special powers. I don't want to present him in that way. And the other thing I liked about him was, you know, I was very concerned that this TM was like maybe like a Scientology, like a religion or something. And there was no religion.
Well, that's what I think of when I hear it.
No, but no. This was not a cult kind of thing. It was a technique. He said it's the same as brushing your teeth. If you buy a toothbrush, maybe you could buy TM. It's a technique I can give you that will relax you and help you. There's no, you don't have to switch from being a Catholic or a Jew or, you know, you don't have to be into the Hindu religion.
You can even be a Scientologist.
He is a religious guy. He was raised, he's a very spiritual man. But he never looked at people and said, you have to join the movement. You have to, you know, now you have to go out and be, join a religion.
What religion is he?
He was a Hindu.
Hindu, right.
Yeah. But he didn't preach that,
right.
You know.
I don't know anything about Hinduism.
Right. So it's.
Did he become a wealthy guy off it, or was
no? His organization is, I would say, greatly underfunded. I don't think because they charge a one-time fee. It's like Vic Tanney went out of business. You know, it was like one-time fee. They should keep, like most religions keep hitting you up for more and more money.
Right.
They were like, just learn TM, pay this. And then it's yours for life, and you can go to a TM center the rest of your life and get checked.
Well, if you know that if they're getting that kind of result with people, there's a million ways you could rip people off. If people see results like that, they come up with a bullshit different book every year for them to buy.
Well, there are a lot of people who are very, very devoted to this, and I can see why.
But there are universities. I mean, there are a lot of things in his name that exist.
Right. Yes. Frosty, you're on the air in Long Island.
Yeah, Howard, I wanted to say that that meditation and prayer changed my life, too. I was my whole life I battled addiction with alcohol and drugs, and really helped me change my ways. Some artists you definitely look into.
Yeah, my mom was at a real bad point, and, you know, my father, she wanted to end her own life. Sometimes she would say, I don't want to live. Her sister raised her. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a mother. She had a tough life. And my father would even come home from work and say, why don't you start drinking? Let's become alcoholics together.
That was a choice?
He said, we're so... father doesn't really drink. He goes, because I'll do anything to help you. My father loved my mother.
Become a drunk with you.
And I would sit there with my mother at the table, and she would just cry. Every day, crying, going upstairs. And I'd say, is she going to hurt herself?
Is she going to make it?
And my whole high school was filled with that. And my high school years. And, this change... And I remember going off to college feeling very unsettled. And this change that came over her was, her today. She's completely different. Yeah. There's not a negative bone in her body.
But you know me from when you first met me to now, and I do attribute a lot of the changes in me to my practices.
Well, for someone from her generation to do something that radical, too.
She was very open. I always think that was incredible of her to take up TM.
Yes, it's
a testament
was.
How desperate she might have been. You know, like, it seems like a real, like, hippie 60s thing to do.
Well, my mother was always religious, and she said, I never got comfort from my religion. Mm. She said, this I got comfort from. This saved my life.
I actually did a TM weekend with your mother. Do you know that?
Yeah.
We spent a whole weekend together meditating.
Yeah.
And your sister.
Yes, my sister's big in it. And
where do you go do that? You go away for the weekend?
Yeah, they have weekends if you want to go do, but it's not mandatory.
That's not mandatory. No. That's something you can do if you want to. I always enjoyed those.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I might go this afternoon.
You know what? I'll tell you something else about it. Also, at a time in my life when I started out in radio, I didn't have a place to live. I had no money. I made $96 a week, and I went and lived with the people from TM in a monastery, actually, up in Armonk, New York. And it was one of the most profound, great experiences of my life, and fabulous, really.
Mm.
And
environment to live in, I bet.
Yeah, it was really pretty spectacular to see, to really be exposed to that over a long period of time.
Do you know anybody who tried it and just rejected it? It didn't work at all?
No, not that it didn't work. It's a very funny thing with some people. Some people try it, and they like it.
Yeah.
And they start to feel better. And they go, I feel good. I don't need to do it. It's a very strange kind of thing. I've seen it happen to many people.
Well,
they go,
well,
I feel
like
good.
A medication, like, if you've got a mental illness and you take the medication, you're better. You convince yourself you don't need it, and you stop.
Yeah, right. But I've always stuck with it. And I'll tell you, one of the greatest things for me is after the show, I've told you my head rings after the show.
I relate to that now.
Yeah, I'm so tired that my ears actually hurt from the headphones afterwards. So I go to my office, and I close my eyes, and that's when I do my TM.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic.
You do it before the show, too?
I do. Yes, like this morning, I woke up early and did it.
Right.
You do it twice a day.
How long does it take?
20 minutes.
Right.
And so, I find it, I look forward to it. Like, although yesterday, my office was deluged. They're doing some fucking wacky thing to the windows here in the building. They're busy hammering on top of my head. They're going to kill me.
They built scaffolding outside. They're caulking and re-caulking all the fucking... It's a major job.
2-year project. They got to stop it.
2 years?
Please don't caulk my windows. Leave my windows alone.
They hired a separate company just to build the scaffolding.
I want to kill myself. I was going to open the window and push the guy off.
Somebody asked me what that scaffolding was about. Is it about caulking the
windows? Have to recaulk the window.
Yeah, caulk. Caulk.
They're re-cocking the window.
You know, somebody once said to me, well, gee, if you, you join TM, you know, you won't want to do dick jokes. And, you know, and here's the thing. You do TM, if you're an Army general, it doesn't make you a pacifist. It makes you a better Army general.
You know what? I used to go to those weekends all the time, and people would say to me, they couldn't believe that you were a TMer. And I was just, I used to say to them, well, think of what he would be like without it.
Yeah. But, you know, so I got to look the Maharishi in the eyes and say, thank you for saving my mother's life. And I don't, I am forever, ever indebted to the TM movement and this wonderful man who really lived in a cave for years with a man named Guru Dev, who was his teacher, who taught him this technique of doing meditation for the masses, to almost to bring it like McDonald's to the masses, so it would be easy for people to do, to make it as simple as possible that anyone could do it.
So he didn't come up with it. This other guy taught him.
Guru Dev came up with it and said to the Maharishi, go to the United States and teach people. That is your mission in life. That is what I want you to do. Go to Europe. Go to these countries that are westernized and bring them this technique to bring about people who are relaxed and peaceful, and it can change, give them profound change. Because how do you make profound change, really? It's on the inner, deeper level, the most deep level. And that was his philosophy. And so the Maharishi came here, and you know, the rest was history. And he has quite a following. But again, it's not a religion, and it's not something that you sit there like he's a deity, and it's really quite spectacular.
And that interview was on tape, Gary said?
Yeah.
Video?
Yeah, the TM Movement table, they asked me to come down and interview the Maharishi, and I said that I would never do it on my regular show because I didn't want to be asking him questions.
Oh, it wasn't on your show?
No, I put it on Sunday morning on NBC. I asked them if I could do the public affairs show.
Oh, wow.
And they said yes, and it aired, my two interviews aired on NBC on Sundays. And I didn't, Gary might be right, maybe they did videotape some of it.
I'd love to.
I don't think I've ever seen the video. I've heard the audio.
It was on one of those big discs. Remember, they used to have those big, giant discs?
They're like the records.
They looked like records.
Yeah.
And I think only a portion of it was on there. So I don't even know. But, yes, I was reverential because he saved my mother's life. And I'm a huge admirer of his. And I'm sorry to see that he's gone. It was really quite shocking to read. I thought he'd live forever.
But a simple man.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, even in his 90s, just very together and very, you could see his health was good. He just died of old age, but his health was very, very good. He was very, he was with it. You don't see that with a lot of religious leaders and people who are supposedly in touch with a higher being. So
stress will kill you before anything, and if you can find
a way,
way to deal with that.
All right. Anyway, so there's my wrap on this great man, and rest in peace.
And he used to sit there in that little, you know, cross-legged pose at 91. He could still, like, you know, do all those yogi poses. And
the only guy I know who could do that is Fred. All right. He's like a yogi to me. All right, we have a lot of show to get to. And first, I must take a break. So listen to these words.